そんな俺気にしてる。 I want to read to you this morning some things, some sayings、that I think a lot of us will know, and I just want you to, you don't have to answer out loud, it's not a verbal test, but just in your head, quiz yourself. Is it from the Bible?Or is it just a common known sin? Okay? So I'm going to go through these fairly quickly, and I have some explanation for them too. So, God helps those who help themselves. In the Bible or not? Again, in your head. Okay? Give you some time. The earliest recording of this saying is actually from Aesop's fable. Hercules and the Wagoner. A man's wagon got stuck in a muddy road, and he prayed for Hercules to help. Hercules appeared and said, "Get up. Put your shoulder to the wheel." The moral given was that the gods, little g, help themselves. Aesop was a Greek writer who lived in 620 to 564 BC, but obviously did not contribute to the Bible. We find a close passage to that in 1 Peter 14 through 15. It says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which you were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who calls you, be holy yourselves also in your behavior." All right? How about this? Hate the sin, love the sinner. Again, take a minute, think about it. All right? Now you give some time to think about it. Although this is biblical-sounding admonition, it is not directly from the Bible. It is actually a loose quote of something Mahatma Gandhi wrote in 1929. Hate the sin and not the sinner. Augustine expressed a similar thought back in AD 424 with love for mankind and hatred of sins. This biblical principle backing this up is found in Jude 1:22-23. We are to hate sin, even our own, and we are to show love to other people. The hating sin part is coming under fire today as more and more people define themselves by their sin and resent the guidelines God has given us in his word. Okay, how you doing so far? Good? Hopefully you are. Okay, how about this one? Money is the root of all evil. Money is the root of all evil. Okay? This is a common misconception. It's an easy fix. In 1 Timothy 6:10, it actually says, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. Money is not good or bad, and being wealthy is not a sin." Job was wealthy and described as a man who was blameless and upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. Job 1:1. Okay? What about this one? This is our last one. Cleanliness is next to?
Kindness.
Yeah, you all know that one. Bible or not? Despite the strict rules given to the Israelites about uncleanliness, as a metaphor for sinfulness and ceremonial washing required by priests in Exodus and Leviticus, this phrase is not in the Bible. It originated as an ancient Babylonian and Hebrew proverb, but became very popular during the Victorian era after being revived by Sir Francis Bacon and John Wesley. Is the proverb true beyond the metaphor? A new study shows that people are generally, listen to this, generally fairer and more generous in a clean-smelling environment. But Jesus also exhorts us not to worry about the sin in our hearts. Jesus also exhorts us to worry more about the sin in our hearts than the dirt on our hands. And that is actually where we're going to be at today in Matthew chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. I read all of this. All of those are not found in the Bible. There are hints of biblical stuff in that, but they are not found in the Bible. And so I want us to remember, and I want you to be aware of, oral tradition. We have to be careful not to fall into it. Oral tradition, the definition, Tommy's definition of oral tradition, is a hint of truth mixed with the motives of man accepted as truth over time. I'll read that for you one more time. A hint of truth mixed with motives of man accepted as truth over time. We must be students of the scriptures. In order for us to do that, we have to read our Bibles. Listen, folks, We're going to study in Matthew chapter 15 today how the Jews and the scribes came at Jesus and tried to catch him up in their oral tradition. The Jews were really good at taking what God had laid out in the law and over time taking bits and pieces of that and making their own law, and that was called oral law or oral tradition. Okay? And so they did that over time, and so they tried to catch Jesus in this, in Matthew chapter 15. This passage is also found in Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 23. So if you have your Bibles, hopefully you're already there. I'll get there myself. And this is what it says in 1 through 9, starting off. Matthew 15. Then some of the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother, and by this you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy to you, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of man.'" I want you to understand here that what is going on, Jesus is teaching and preaching, and word is getting out of all the things that Jesus is doing, and there's large crowds around him, surrounding him, and then the scribes and the Jews come from a long way away to catch up with Jesus and to reprimand him, to put him in his place. And so they pick on the disciples, because the disciples, although not they didn't need to do it, it was kind of gross anyways, they didn't wash their hands before they ate. Okay, and so they use that to pick at them and say, "Why does your disciples break the tradition of the elders and not washing your hands, not being ceremonially clean?" If you go back into Jewish culture and you do a little study, you notice that they are really big on the ceremonial washing and cleaning of themselves. They make sure that they are spick and span before they do anything, and especially if they had gone to the marketplace where there was Gentiles. They were big on washing themselves and making sure that they were clean. Mark 7, 3-4, which is the parallel of this in Mark's gospel, says this: "For Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots." So they are big time into washing and cleansing and making sure that everything is clean before they even partake in the eating. And so they come to Jesus and say, "Listen, why don't your disciples wash their hands before they break bread?" And Jesus says, "Why do you pay more attention to the oral law and not pay attention to the fact that you are ripping off your family?" Okay? That's the short of it. Jesus comes back quickly as they begin to pick at him about his disciples not washing their hands and say, "Listen, what you are doing to your family is disobeying the law of God, not oral tradition." You see, the Jews had this way of doing this thing where they would, God tells us in the Ten Commandments that we are to honor our father and mother. That means that we are also to take care of our parents and give them the respect that they need. Verse 4, it says, "For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of the father or mother is to be put to death." You see, the Jews had this way of doing this thing that they would give a gift to God. So they had means to take care of their parents, they could give this gift to God. And what it meant is that it still stayed in their possession, but they couldn't give it to anybody else. Meaning it couldn't be sold or it couldn't be given to their parents to take care of them. And so what the Pharisees had done, the scribes had done, is found a loophole. They began to chip away at what the actual law stated, and they begin to say, "Listen, this is what we're going to follow. This is what we believe is right. And so they, to keep their own wealth, to keep their own things, they give this gift to God. And if it was given as a gift, it couldn't be sold. And so Jesus confronts them about that. He says, why do you transgress the commandments of God and forsake for the sake of your tradition? He goes on to talk about honoring thy father and mother and not speaking evil against your father and mother. And then he goes on, he says, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have, I would help you, has been given to God. He is not honoring his father and his mother. And by this, you have invalidated the word of God for your sake of your tradition. You see, they had given up they had taken the law of God and they had chipped away at it. Okay, and they had orally over time, they had spoken these, they had added on and made their own laws. And that's what ends up happening with the Jews is they begin to get further and further away from what God originally stated and start to add on all these different things. And that's where they come back and they try to catch Jesus up many times. And Jesus goes right back to the scriptures. And says, this is what the law says and this is what you are doing. And the bottom line is, you can polish a turd, but it's still turd. Okay? Just to be blunt. All right? And so that's what he's saying to them is, listen, you can pretend to be all holier than thou, and you can pretend to be Mr. Righteous, but in your heart, in the heart of you, you are a sinful person, and you are following your own tradition. You are following your own wants. You're cheating your parents. You're not following the word of God. You're not giving as you should give. And here you come at me and you say that my disciples' hands are dirty. You see what Jesus quickly does here is he turns the conversation on them. He says, listen, you have come at me with oral law, laws that you have made up, and you are convicting my disciples of this atrocity. But you have disobeyed the law of God. And he goes on, he quotes Isaiah. And he says, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. But in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of man. Do you get that last part? Teaching as doctrines the precepts of man, the wants of man. Their own laws. They're preaching their own things as law. Folks, the passages I read you earlier, the little verses that you might have recognized time after time of hearing them over and over again, are verses that are passages or sayings that are said over and over again. And people say, you know, in the Bible it says, godliness is next to, or cleanliness is next to godliness. Or I forget what all I put in there. Money is the root of what the Bible says. The money is the root of all evil. And the Bible says, hate the sin and love the sinner. Folks, here's the bottom line. We have to be students of the word. We have to study it. We have to know it in order for us not to fall into this oral tradition. It still happens today. We take the word of God and we add to it what we feel is best. We kind of try to begin to justify our sins. We make it fit our needs. And that's exactly what the Jews did. They made it to fit their needs. They made it to fit them, to benefit them, instead of going back to the law of God and what the law said. And they went to follow their own oral traditions. And when we follow our own oral traditions, we get away from the scriptures. We get away from what the meaning of the scripture is. And we begin to think about ourselves. Jesus quickly stands up and retorts them with scripture. He answers and addresses their corruptness as Isaiah did. And I want you to remember 8 and 9. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of man. That is from Isaiah. That's many, many years before Jesus came. Speaking to the same people group, speaking to the Jews. Reminding them that you are teaching doctrines, you're making your own wants and your own wishes as doctrine. You're teaching them as doctrine. Verse 10. Matthew 10, 11 says this. Jesus called the crowd to him, and he said to them, hear and understand. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles man, but what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles man. He is referring here to the dietary laws that the Jews strictly followed, and the way of the ceremonial cleansing. And listen, there is some truth in that. There is some truth in what they were doing, but they over time had made it even more. They had added even more onto it and made it their own law, made it very strict and made it very legalistic. And they would begin to get away from the law of God. Jesus redirects to the hard man. He says, listen, it is not what we eat. He's talking about his disciples now. He says, it's not what we eat. It's not what we digest. It's what's in the heart. It's what comes out of the heart that defiles man. It's not what you eat. And he's simply talking about there that we have a heart problem. We have, you and I, them, we have a heart problem. We have an issue. And the only thing that can help that heart issue is Jesus. And having him as our Lord and Savior and beginning to let him do a work in our lives and transform us and change us into what he wants us to be. And living for him each and every day. Jesus quickly redirects to the heart of man, and he begins to teach the crowd and telling them, again, and you see this show up in Acts chapter 10, where they begin to talk about the unclean food and the clean food. And remember the vision that appears to Peter, and God says, get up and eat. And again, it's saying that all this food is clean. And once it was unclean, now it is clean to eat, partake of. And so, again, breaking down those laws, breaking down that it's not what goes into the mouth, it's what comes out of the heart that defiles man. Chapter 15, 12 through 14 says this. And the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? And he answered, and he said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Amen. Folks, he directly addresses the Pharisees here. The disciples come to him and say, Lord, you offended the Pharisees. He says, fine. Because they are misleading. And they are leading. It's the blind leading the blind. And their judgment is coming. Their judgment is coming. Jesus is very clear here when he says that every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. That means that one day you will stand in judgment and you will be removed. And when we say removed, that means you will be in the pits of hell. That means that if you were not planted by the Father, that he will remove you. Understand that. That he is God. That he is perfect. And that if he has not planted you, if you have not accepted him as Lord and Savior, then he will remove you. Understand, folks, that hell is a real thing. And understand that if we're playing a game, if we're trying to be like the Pharisees and be polished on the outside, but inside we have a heart problem, we have a sin problem, and we've not dealt with that, if we are living that life that way, one day we will be uprooted and moved. Amen. It is speaking of judgment. And he is talking about the Pharisees here, but it goes hand in hand with us as well. He says, let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And a blind man guides a blind man. Both will fall into a pit. Folks, I go back to the original of what I'm talking about here is that we must be students of the Bible. We must study the Word of God. We must know what the Word of God says. It's not good enough for us to say, you know, in the Bible, it says that you should hate the sin and love the sinner. You need to know where in the Bible it says that, and why in the Bible it says that, and who was saying it. Why? Because that makes you a strong student of the Bible. That helps you get away from oral tradition. This week I went to a friend's house, and Henry was with me, and you know, Henry was doing his thing, and blah, 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 blah. And he said, boy, he's a windjammer. I said, what's a windjammer? And he said, I don't know, my grandfather just said. Okay. All right. But folks, you get it? There are a lot of things we say that we've just always heard. And we have to be careful, especially in today's society where everything is looked at under a microscope and everything is analyzed and everybody gives their opinion and just crucifies whatever you say. You have to be sure and you have to be certain that it is grounded in the Word of God, that it is not the gospel according to Tommy, it's not the gospel according to Donna, it's not the gospel according to Anna or any Phyllis or anybody else. It is the gospel according to Jesus Christ. It is what God laid on the hearts of man to write, inspired them, and is written in the Word of God.
Amen.
It's got to be. It can't be our words. It's got to be God's words. And I beg you to be a student of the Word. You must read it. You must absorb it. It should be in your heart and in your life. Food doesn't make you unclean. Matthew chapter 15, 15 through 20 says this. Peter said to them, Lord, explain the parable. I love Peter. Peter thinks like I think. He's a little done. In the message, I like to read all different versions of the Bible just to kind of get a different view. And the message isn't a good one to preach, but it's a good one to kind of just hear what it's like in our slang today. Peter, I want to read that in a minute. Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding also? And in the message, this is what it says. Are you that stupid? Are you that stupid? Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile man. Jesus is getting away from ceremonial cleansing and he's getting to the problem, the heart problem. Folks, we have sin in our lives and we have a sinful heart. Jeremiah 17:9 through 10 says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? In verse 10, the Lord answers Jeremiah and he says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deed. So yes, our heart is evil. Yes, we have evil thoughts that come from it. But listen, there's an antidote. There is a solution. That solution is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Living for Him and trusting in Him and letting Him come into your life and change who you are. Not because you're saying, I want to be this or I want to be that. You follow His will for your life, not your will. You say, Lord, change me. Everything in my life is yours. Not just this part of my life, but all of my life is yours. And you begin to let God do a transformation in your heart and in your life and change who you are. We have a heart problem. And Jesus addresses this with the Pharisees. He offends them. He says, leave them alone. If they want to be offended, let them go, because the blood of the blind lead the blind. But listen, and he takes the time to address the crowds that have now surrounded him, because the Pharisees, they always brought a lot of people with them because they wanted to gang bust on Jesus. Okay, so they brought a big crowd and they thought, we're going to get him now. We got a whole crowd of people. We're going to get him. And they come at Jesus and they say, listen, your disciples, they didn't wash their hands before they broke bread. And Jesus says, oh, really? How come you pick at my disciples, but you constantly rip off the laws of God? You benefit from your own oral tradition. And he begins to go hard at them and they get mad, they get upset and they leave. And Peter goes, Lord, you've offended the Pharisees. And he says, let them go. Let them go. They're the blind leading the blind, and God is going to deal with them one day. He's going to uproot them because He did not plant them. Understand that. I want you to hear that this morning. That you can pretend on this earth to be whatever you want to be, but eventually one day you're going to stand before the Father in heaven, and you're going to have to answer for the things that you've done. And you're going to have to answer for what you've done on this earth. And if you don't have Jesus as the defender in your life, that Jesus to stand before you and say, you know what? I'll take His charges. price. If you don't have Jesus, then your judgment is hell. Understand that this morning. There is no other way into heaven except through Jesus Christ. And if you try to think that you can make it and do different things to maneuver your way into heaven, it don't work. It don't get that. It don't happen that way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Believe that. Follow Jesus. Live for him daily. We must understand that we have a heart issue. Jeremiah again, 17:9-10 says, the heart of man is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Again, God comes and says, I can. I understand it. I will search you. I will search the heart. I will test the mind. I even give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. God is the only one that can search the heart. Number two, we must be students of God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. Did you catch that? I'm going to read it again. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. The reason why God gave us these words was that we would read them, not so that they would sit on a shelf and look good and we could say, listen, I've got a Bible, it's right there, and it collects dust. It's not a paperweight, it's an anchor, and it anchors us in the life with Jesus. It keeps us centered, it keeps us focused, but you're never going to know that if you never pick it up and read it. You can't go off of what Facebook says and what this meme says and what that meme says or what some old boy said at the feed store. You've got to know what the Bible says. Yeah. Tell me at the feed store when that guy says, hey, this says the Bible. Show me. Where is it at? Teach me. Tell me where it's at. Let me find it. Help me understand why God said that. Help me understand why Jesus preached that. Who was telling him about that and why? One of the biggest struggles I had growing up was this. Was that I, in my whole life, I was in Sunday school 9 months before I was born. And I learned every Bible story that you could ever understand. Or that you could ever, you know, that they teach you something. That was a big statement. Every Bible, lesson that they teach, I heard it. But you know what I didn't know? I didn't know how it all connected. And so I had all these stories. But I didn't know how it worked together. And so I went into youth with, if we're talking about the sword of the Spirit, I went in with a pocket knife. Not quite understanding the Word of God. And not being able to put it all together. And it wasn't until my youth years that I began to lay the groundwork and the foundation to link it all together to understand it. Folks, context is key. We have to understand what the Bible says, and you understand that what the Pharisees did in this passage, and with their oral law, an oral tradition, or the law of the elders, as they refer to, is they took the law of God, and they slowly began to add their own things to it. And if you look at our culture today, you see that rapidly. That people begin to add more and more things to the law of God. They begin to justify their sins by redefining it, by adding other things to it. And we have to be careful. We have to know what the gospel says. We have to know what this Bible says. We have to know why it's there and who wrote it. We must be students of God's word. Thirdly, we must live it out. It is not good enough for us to come here on Sunday mornings and hear the Word of God preached or listen to the radio and hear God's Word preached. We must be students of the Bible. We must study on our own. We must find the application in our lives and we must live it out. James chapter 1, 19-24 says, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, and once he has looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Folks, we cannot be those type of people. We must know what the word of God says, and we must apply it in our lives, and we must live it out in our lives daily. We are to be on mission for God. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always. It's a great commission. God called us to go. And the only way that we can go is if we understand why we're going. You are going not to share the gospel according to Tommy. You're going not to share the gospel according to Kenny. You're going to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and how the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, saved a sinner like Tommy, and how the gospel of Jesus Christ saved a sinner like Kenny Staples. Okay? That is what you're about. That's the only part in this you have, is to tell people how God changed your life. And you show them. You find it. You say, this is what changed my life. This is how it affected my life. And you show them in Scripture, you're a student of the Bible. So we must understand that we have a heart issue. That's number one. We must be students of God's Word. That's number two. And we must live it out. Folks, that is what we're called to do. And here in this passage, the Pharisees come at Jesus. They try to trip him up because he's doing great things and great miracles. After the feeding of the 5,000, he's done different healings, different miracles. And so they are getting ticked off because they're starting to pull away people. And so they go down there and they try to fix him and set him straight. And what ends up happening is they end up hearing a little bit of truth, a lot of bit of truth, and they get upset. And they walk away. Folks, do not get caught up in oral tradition. Do not get caught up in oral law. Know what your Bible says and live it out.
Amen.
Live it out. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for the many blessings you give us. We thank you for the time we've had here to open your word, to study it, Lord. Lord, I pray that as we move forward in this week, Lord, that we would just apply it. Lord, that we would not just be hearers of the word, Father, but that we would be doers of the word. Lord, that you would continue a good work in our lives. Lord, that you would continue to make us what you want us to be, transforming us, Father, into your creation and not us, preparing us for the good works that you have for us, Father. Lord, help us to be studious. Help us to follow your word, not the world. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And Lord, if there's one here this morning who doesn't know you, I pray that they would either begin to ask questions, Lord, or just accept it as truth and follow you. Lord, that they would step out on faith and begin to live a life that is glorifying to you. Father, we thank you so much for the time we've had here this morning. Lord, as we go, I pray that you would guide us and lead us. I love you, Lord. We ask this all in your name. Amen. As the band plays, I'll be here in the front. And listen, I'm here to pray with you, to work through any issues that you might be dealing with. And listen, if you've made a decision to follow God this morning, I want to hear about it. Because listen, there's no words that I can pray over you. There's nothing that I can do, no hand motions that I can do to make you saved. It is a decision that you make between you and God. But I want to hear about it. I want to rejoice with you. I want to give you the tools you need to begin to grow, to lead you in the right direction. And so this morning, as the band plays, and as we stand to sing, do business with God. Be Begin to let Him work in your life and to begin to show you through the Holy Spirit the things that need to change. Let Him move this morning. Let's sing.